When you are in a state of fearlessness and forgiveness, then you may see with clearer eyes that which you wish to do that shows the most compassion for all concerned. 16, 208, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Marty Upson puts it this way: I feel forgiving oneself doesn't necessarily have to mean reinforcing any negative heuristic or Orion. It can merely be the acceptance of what was, is, exactly as it was slash is slash will be, including an acceptance of the illusion of needing forgiveness. Some years ago, some of my closest friends were bemoaning the past, all 18 years of it, and things that they had done or not done. They were caught up in tremendous feelings of guilt and regret. They confronted me when I honestly did not feel any regrets. They grilled me for hours, thinking for sure there must be something I regretted. I realized sometime before that, after beating myself up over such things, that in each case I had done the best I could at each particular stage of my evolution. Even the times I did nothing or was lazy or whatever, it was still the best I could have done at the time. I had learned something in each and every situation, and could not see having regrets for such learning or experiences. It was puff for the moment and it is puff still. It could not have been any other way than how it was at that space, time. That makes it puff. I cannot feel the need for forgiveness of self or another when I see the puff I am in all of it. Perhaps that is what forgiveness of self is: absolving the thought against our self or other self is setting it free, releasing it. 17 Marty makes it sound doable. Her sage attitude has enabled her to shepherd a couple of good wanderer groups through the years. If what she suggests seems impossible to us, we are not alone. It seems hard, sometimes, to ask for help. But that is what we need to do. Those of you who encourage us, it is not possible to either forgive self or other self without a release of that self and an acceptance of help, for there is help at the core of your being waiting to be accessed, waiting to be asked. For the infinite creator, in infinite love and infinite patience, sits in a humble chair in a little corner of your heart, waiting to be called upon, waiting to be brought into the center of the heart, waiting to be noticed, waiting to be asked. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Deity, and that Logos was Deity, and that Deity is love, and that love is you. At the heart of your being lie all the resources that you will ever, ever need. At the heart of your being lies infinite truth, infinite power, infinite strength. 18 If we cannot seem to go within and find that truth, power and strength, that is what prayer and meditation are for. 209 Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. If you wish to speed the process of forgiveness, may we suggest that you take the object which has not been forgiven by you and hold that object within the heart and mind, enveloped and encircled in light, light infinite and light illimitable, hoping and praying for every good for that which you cannot forgive. Thus, you are engaging a deeper portion of yourself to begin opening doors, so that that which is unforgivable to the conscious mind slowly becomes that which must be forgiven. It cannot be forced, it cannot be taught. And when someone attempts to persuade the seeker into forgiveness, and does so on its own energy, then as soon as the intermediary removes itself, the hardness of heart returns. 19 That hardness of heart can also be seen to be a kind of disease that to ally affects the health, questioner, then you are saying that cancer is quite easily healed mentally and is a good teaching tool because it is easily healed mentally, and once the entity forgives the other self at whom he is angry, the cancer will disappear. Is this Kua? Ra, I am Ra. This is partially Kura. The other portion of healing has to do with forgiveness of self and a greatly heightened risk for the self. This may conveniently be expressed by taking care in dietary matters. This is quite frequently a part of the healing and forgiving process. Your basic premise is Kua.20. We can look at physical disease as it manifests in ourselves and ask our inner selves if there is anger, resentment, judgment or other negative emotional material trapped in the body. For example, I feel sure that the onset of severe symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis in my life at age 25 were related to my first husband leaving me that March, and Don Elkins first asking me to marry him that November, and then deciding he really did not want to be married in the earthly sense. I had the illness diagnosed when I was 13, but it did not trouble me until this tough time in 1968, 12 years later. I have worked with and greatly improved my health now, but by the time I was able to come to the very heart of forgiveness, the initial damage, showing on X-rays, was done, and I live with those changes in my body. It might have helped if I had been given a strong sense of self-worth as a child, but I had two perfectionists for parents, and their relating to me was largely based on the techniques of criticism and asking, "What is wrong with this by you?" Those of you who say, 210, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. There are crystallized nuggets of pain, emotional and spiritual pain, that are locked deeply within the personality and chakra of each seeker. Any attempt to analyze or therapize them into a new configuration is limited in its success because it is not seen by most therapeutic entities that the issue is forgiveness. The deeply buried programming and crystals of pain are seen as that which need to be taken out, to be pulled up by the roots, seen, in other words, as weeds in a garden. And yet this approach only tends to build walls thick enough to protect one from those crystallized areas of pain without coming into a balanced awareness of that pain. One cannot give it away. One can only give away what one has forgiven oneself for feeling, and the triggers for this forgiveness are different for each seeker. The key, however, is forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of humanity. 21 Those of Lito's ad. Whenever you catch yourself being negative about the self, remind yourself that you are an orphan on a very unusual planet, and that you must mother yourself and nurture yourself and care within your heart for yourself, until those sore and painful places are indeed nurtured and healed at last, until there is forgiveness and redemption within the knowledge of the heart, not only of the mind. Then may you tune upwards, seeking ever higher for a more beautiful, lovely and puff ideal. A more clarified and fine version of love divine. 22 Those of Ra tell us that even planet Earth can be healed with forgiveness. Questioner, can you describe the mechanism of the planetary healing? Ra, I am Ra. Healing is a process of acceptance, forgiveness and, if possible, restitution. The restitution not being available in time, space. There are many among your peoples now attempting restitution while in the physical. 23 I hope we do continue to make some progress towards healing the planet we have come to for this life. It will thrive more and more as we heal our own selves with forgiveness. 211, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Re-seeing the self-maturation is often a process in which we are redefining ourselves. As children, we learn to individuate ourselves from our parents and in puberty we run a merry race with our rapidly changing bodies and feelings. Spiritually speaking, we never stop going through this process of redefining and re-seeing ourselves. Heike Malaska shares an experience, in the middle of normal evites, in full waking consciousness, I started hearing a voice talk to me softly and quietly inside my head. I engaged in a conversation with it, and eventually asked for guidance to a problem, and definitely got more than I was bargaining for, because the reply was, the source of all problems is the sorrow which arises, when you regard your self-made images as real. 24 Our self-made images is a good way of saying our personality shells and our egos. We repeatedly change this self-image in life, transforming ourselves from child to adult. From daughter to mother or son to father, from taker to giver. Those of you who say, this is a process which must partake of the breaking or shedding of the older ways of perceiving, of thinking and of doing so that there might be made a place for a new way of perceiving and of bringing forth that quality of compassion and understanding that has long been hidden within the hearts of many who have incarnated with the desire that they may show forth this energy of love that will aid not only their own evolutionary growth but will enhance the opportunity to be of service to others and will also lighten the planetary vibrations as a whole. 25 Those clues and inklings within ourselves that presage change are sometimes mighty tough to grasp, and things can get bumpy. Right now I am in the midst of the second major metamorphosis of my life. It has been very difficult and very painful. I am questioning things that I thought I would never question, wanting to do things I thought I'd never want to do. All the things that were right and good in my life no longer feel right or even important to me. I am feeling a great deal of betrayal because I thought what was how it would always be. This has caused anger and resentment, as if I had found out I was going to die. My old self is dying, and she's fighting to hang on. My new self is angry that she's being held back, but it's not her time yet. Much anger on both sides. Add this to a naturally explosive nature and, well, bear with me as I work through this transition. 26, 212, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. My last big metamorphosis was in 1992. I really relate to what Romy is saying here, for my old self did die. I was quite aware of it, and ready for that to happen. I just didn't want to die with her. Since I was, at the time, physically sick unto death, I barely made it, and it is with great gratitude that I praise Jesus Christ, the intervention of Mother Mary and the saints and the prayers of so many people here on earth for helping me to survive what was clearly a death process. That version of myself which died was what I have since thought of as the Ulrich model. Don Elkins always called me that nickname, which is my name, Carla, spelled backwards. Don's unspoken but inexorable need was to have me entirely dependent on him and free to move at any time in any direction he chose. He strongly resisted all my attempts at working for a living, except to help him. So at the beginning of our relationship, he hired me himself. I stayed home and worked for Don when he was gone, working in the cockpit, flying a 727. When he was at home, I simply enjoyed a lot of reading. He never would let me work when he was around. It was a stretch for me to find contentment when I was not always busy and without a family to care for, but I adored Don and thought him worth the adjustment. In hindsight, I still think that, very much so. It was what my beloved companion needed. I am very glad I could do it for him. I had 16 years to practice being Ulrich, and got pretty good at it, becoming that dependent personality who was always there for Don. After Don's death in 1984, I continued to work through the mutual death process started by my experience of the suicide, for we had become so close that his death was also mine. The question was whether I would survive it. For 6 years, I was so inundated with the difficult feelings concerning that terrible loss that nothing really penetrated. I simply walked in the desert with all the negative emotions, anger, grief, horror, guilt, sheer pain and endless sorrow. I knew it was the test of faith of my whole life. My nights were filled with nightmares and my days with unbidden images of Don at his most ill, my unknowing words at their most hurtful. Eventually, the day came when I realized I again really liked myself. This was near the end of 1990. That was the beginning of the birth of my current model of myself, at least in my own personal myth. I remained very ill physically until 1992, when I finally had half my colon removed, which straightened out a lot of my physical troubles, and then I got rehabilitation for the rheumatoid conditions which had bent and injured me into a reclining wheelchair and bed-bound. Slowly, I achieved verticality and began entering into a more alive life, driving, cooking, gardening and in general having a life. Taped letters, which had been my only avenue of communication with readers and students for years, gave way to email and, 213, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work Regular Mail. As I found my way to computers and light touch keyboards, my arthritic hands could work. But I still had several years of searching to find my stride, my voice, the way it felt rightest to express my being. I had to go through the old self-images of former models of myself, especially the lady volunteer and professional librarian person, trying them on to see if they still fit. Re-seeing the self can be a tremendously long and wearing experience. 173, a stalwart California wanderer and mother of three, says, "When the Beatles' White Album came out, I felt like the blackbird in McCartney's song. It really struck a chord in me. Looking back, I think it was because I knew that was, more or less, the situation I had placed myself in. There have been a couple of times in my life when I felt I was being told to fly into the night with broken wings. However, I now know that these were moments I had waited for, and planned for, and that when I did learn to fly and to see, I would be free in a sense. Whenever I feel frustrated, or confused, or afraid, I think of that song. It validates my feelings and gives me hope at the same time. 27. We are all those who fly with broken wings, when it comes to re-seeing the self. We are most likely to have worked through this process early when we have had to. When those times come, we feel awash in catalyst and inundated by the feelings involved. It's not easy. It is easier if we choose to do this continuously. The idea is good and solid, to move beneath the appearances and the surface of things to the heart of self. How you choose to see yourself is your illusion, it is your choice. We do not deny any of those things which are negative, seen against the positive standard of a healthy, smiling, vibrant evolution. We do not deny hate or death or jealousy, pain or anguish or loss. We only say to you that they are a part of that which is an illusion, and that at the heart of each of these things is a transformation which is so positive that joy leaps from every tear that we may shed in the learning of these lessons. 28. We really do have great depths of this living water of the roots of mind, great possibilities as we reimagine ourselves. When we change our minds, we change the reality we live in. Our reaction to anything or anyone comes from within, not from without. Change the thought, change the reality, it's that simple. We mold our own reality. 29. The challenge, then, is to find our deepest heart of self. One way of digging towards that heart is to follow one's desire. 214. Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. We would dear your attention to the fa or of your own desire, which works deeply and often in hidden ways within those situations which present themselves to you, colored in various ways. If you find that the situation which now serves as catalyst to you has the feel or the coloration of frustration, it is well that you step back for a moment to examine what in the situation you find frustrating, and a step further back to determine what desire of your own there may exist to make possible the kind of frustration that you feel. Where there is a confusion of desire, frustration is almost inevitable. It behooves one, then, to ask ever more deeply, what is the true nature, what is the true object, of that which you desire? If one settles for a good that seems, for the moment, to satisfy the desire, one will surely be given such catalyst as will eventually show the limits of this desire, or more properly put, the limits of this self-image of what is desired. 30. Another technique of re-seeing the self is visualization of the self as various attributes or essences which we feel express the heart of self. William Plug prefers to imagine himself as love. This love, joy emotion already exists in each of us. It always has. In far, it is all we started with. We just get in its way. We hide it for our own reasons. We attempt to define ourselves in ways we are not. They, the abilities and bliss, were already who I was, they were just not a part of who I thought I was. They were not a part of who I pretended to be. You might say what I have done is gone through a process of undefining myself. Permit the core me to be without all the definition I had tried to apply. 31. We can visualize ourselves as light. The way that I have come to understand to sort out the complexities to become simplicities, is to pause for less than one moment in any given situation, to call forth my who I really am, that which is beyond all physical teachings, my pure light, and then to bring all of my physical remembrances back into form a whole pyre. This then gives me access to a truth of responding in a manner for the highest good. It is then my choice to do so or not. 32. We can choose to envision ourselves as the creator. We do not wish to trifle with questions of identity, but wish instead to ask each, in the mind's eye, to move inward, and inward, until there is that point, bright as a diamond, crystalline and lovely, this tiny point which is the adit to the deep mind's union with the one infinite. 215. Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. To the deep heart's canto and unity with the logos, the articulated expression of love which is your crystalline nature. Feel that inmost point of light, that shuttle to intelligent infinity, and know now that all falls away before that one identity. Enter into that point of light, and become the light. 33 We may decide to work on the eternal asp of ourselves. Your identity is of utmost importance to you at this time, your true identity that resides in every cell of your being and every part of the universe. This identity is one which you have carried with you throughout eons of what you call time, and it is an identity that you shall continue to carry with you and that you shall continue to realize more and more fully as you evolve in your conscious awareness. 34 We can opt to focus on our infinite or universal asp. Think of yourself in this way, as a sun or a blossom, anything but a human, for to think of oneself as human is always to move to the outer. For your true self is no outer thing. Your true self is without distortion, and infinite in love. We cannot teach you how to realize compassion. You cannot teach yourself how to realize the compassion that is locked within you. And even with the dint of the hardest and most intransigent work upon the self, you cannot add one whit of compassion to your personality. You can teach yourself to perform compassionate, but the key to that infinite compassion that is truly yours is not to be found within teaching and learning. It is locked within the present moment, and it is when you go into the present moment that you are vulnerable to a deeper realization of yourself. 35 Finally, we can choose to focus upon our of self. Indeed, it is well to think of yourself as a dancer through life, for each of you dances or walks, is graceful or isn't, and these infinitesimal changes in the way you think about yourself and the way you think about the body can indeed bring you to more mindfulness as you revisualize yourself in perfection, in harmony and in unity. 36 The purification of the emotions. The purification of the emotions is a technique of indigo ray work that has excellent results over a long period of time, although it is very difficult to see results quickly. One reason for this XP's length of working is there. 216 Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Very Nature of Emotions. The root of the word motion is the Latin emovia, which means to move out, literally, or to agitate or stir up. Emotions are strong feelings, and they can be any feeling, or mixtures of feelings. They can be complex reactions involving both psychical and physical responses, and include love, hate, fear, anger and joy. Human folk do not always enjoy excitement, agitation, perturbation, commotion or disturbance. To the extent that they do not, they will not appreciate their own emotions and feelings. This is a lifelong process. While we know what emotions are, they to an extent remain a sacred mystery to us. The concept of being pure uses for a root the Latin word, pura, which means, guess what, pure. It is a straightforward word whose synonyms include simple, mere, absolute, sheer, unmixed and genuine. Something that is pure is nothing but that particular something. However, there is a dichotomy in how this word is used. One branch of it tends towards meaning virgin, chaste, unsullied or unblemished. The other branch tends towards meaning nothing but. The branch we want to follow is the latter, simpler, less culture-driven meaning of the word. In the purification of emotions, we are looking to purge or refine the emotion from impurities, from anything but that emotion, positive and negative ones alike, just as an alchemist wishes to remove that which is not gold in lead so that it turns into gold. In this regard, a good meaning of pure is applied to color, pure colors being those to which no white is added. So the purification of emotions would be the gradual refining of our emotions until, when we feel a given emotion, we feel the pure emotion, which does not feel confused or agitated, but absolutely peaceful, while at the same time being devastatingly profound in its tone or resonance within the self. I have felt pure emotions from time to time in my life. Those times have sometimes been earned. Sometimes, they have been gifts. They have always been my teachers when they occurred. I feel that emotions are a higher truth, an essence that is a kind of harvest within our developing spiritual self, a gift from us to the Creator, as well as from the Creator to us. They are a fruit of our total being. A friend of mine, offbeat poet Daniel A. Russell, refers to them as louche, that substance that his gods are gathering from us as their food, which I have also seen used as a term by Robert Munroe in his book, Far Journeys. Those of Ra commented in the Law of One sessions about my high degree of purity. They were not talking about my virginity, but about my single-hearted and single-minded nature. In terms of the canter with those of Ra, I think this purity had to do with being totally dedicated to seeking the truth and, as living the truth, to doing whatever would help. Don Elkins, 217, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work, Seek the Truth in His Way. When I took on the care and feeding of Don, I expiated marriage, home, family, the things that I valued and had hoped for as a teenager. Not for me the glamour of career, although I had made a good job out of being a librarian. But life with Don was not to develop along those lines. It turned out that Don needed me to be content with not being married, not having my own house and garden, not having children, not even having my own career or any job outside those things he wished me to do for him, and working on my own inner seeking, which he wholeheartedly supported in every way. Further, although I was a very insecure young woman, with quite low self-worth, Don could not stand to offer pretty compliments. He could not say any of the words women love to hear. And after a half year of sexual intimacy, he silently closed the door on our intimate life together. We were celibate for the remaining 16 years of our relationship. At the time our relationship began as a settled mating, I was 26 years old. My history with men had included a first love who deserted me the week before our wedding after taking my virginity, and a first husband who hated marriage, and my body, from the first day of it. I already assumed I was rather unattractive. What this final rejection of Don's did for me was extremely painful, but equally valuable in terms of my growth within this incarnation, for he enabled me to filter through all else and know exactly why I was living this life and helping him. I was doing it for love of him and a sense of the rightness of our mutual path. There was no other possible reason. My awareness of this was complete. I felt it was worth it. I knew this man was doing his very best, and I found ways to go the rest of the way to making a good life together in joy and peace, which we did, most profoundly. I persisted in this pattern with him for a decade and more before the canter with those of Ra began. It was a decade of increasing purity for me. My worldly ambitions had long been engaged by the hope of a home and children. I went through the painful refining process of giving those deepest of worldly goals up. This first hollowed out my personality and ego. So the first pure emotion I ever felt was love of Don. After he had been dead about 5 years, I finally woke one morning to a piercing awareness that I had also come to the utterly pure experience of grief over my loss of him in this life. It placed me far beyond tears. I had to sit with the emotion for quite a long time, perhaps an hour, before I felt that I had begun to plumb its beauty. Those of you who say, each of you is like a symbol. Much of that which is most truly you lies safely tucked within you, accessible to you only for the most part through creative effort, not necessarily complex or occult effort. For the 218, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work, Self Reveals Itself to the Self that has begun a process of purifying the emotions of facing of the self as it is. 37 Always we are aiming towards the heart of self in doing metaphysical work. Pure emotion is associated with worship. True worshipful living is a high-risk occupation. It is not a loop into the light, but rather a loop into darkness. The illusion creates an emotional, mental and spiritual twilight in which ideals, the purification of emotions from attachments and the mindfulness of continuing awareness of the worship bloom in the darkness of blind faith. That is, the true worship is worship of a mystery, or wonder, a greater and greater sublime feeling of being held firmly by that which is not illusion, although one cannot understand it, so that the entity rests at last in a completely sublime and sublimely truthful journey. In this regard, worship may be seen as motion, motion of a metaphysical kind rather than a physical kind. 38 It is no wonder that we are fixed here on intuitively aided processes, as we work on purifying emotion. This is the universe we most truly live in. In it there is much of unknowing. You cannot become an entity without polarity. You must be that which your nature is. You are top to bottom and side to side entities of 360 degrees, the full circle of personality from lightest and brightest to the deepest and darkest. The skill lies in seeing your emotions as information-bearing energies, offering to you the fruits of your own past and the seeds of your transformation into an ever emptier, ever lighter, ever hollower self.